2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chetchesco. Chet, before we get started tonight, I have to say we were able to pull off our last show, number 50, with the Philly fanatic Dave Raymond under some pretty unusual circumstances, and you did a great job with that, and special thanks to Steve Switkiewicz. Switt stepped in and filled in and did a great job, and of course, Dave was a really great guest.
Yeah, that was a fun show. Dave was awesome. He gave us lots of great insight about the origin of the Fanatic and why that big green furball is still the best mascot in sports. Fun show for sure, just like tonight's will be, too.
Well, you know, how about a little bit of hockey in August? We've got Flyers great Brian Propp's going to be with us tonight. We'll be talking the Eagles camp, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the new look Phillies, and we'll be introducing a new segment called Carl's Corner tonight as well. And we also will have our trivia question, with the question being announced about 7:30. We have a great prize for tonight's trivia question as well, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. A photo, an autograph, and a photo op with our guest Brian Propp when he's at Carl's store on August 29th to the first caller that can call in and correctly answer the trivia question. If an out-of-towner were to win the trivia question, Chet, and they can't make it to Carl's store, they'll receive a signed photo of Brian as well. A little hint to the listeners, the question has to do with Brian. So if they listen closely to the show, they will surely have the answer. But we'll get back to that shortly from there.
Yeah, in fact, we are going to actually sneak in the answer to the trivia question during the course of the next 20 or 25 minutes. So pay attention.
All right. As we mentioned, tonight we have Flyers great Brian Propp making his first ever Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Glad to have you.
Go All ahead. Right, you ready to get rolling here?
Let's go. Let's roll.
Brian, what we're going to do, we're going to talk for 10 minutes or so about the current Flyers, what's going on with them, and then we'll reminisce about when you played with the Orange and Black. So first of all, Brian, let's get your early impressions of new coach Dave Hackstall. What do you know about him and what do you expect?
Well, I don't know a lot about him, but I know that Ron Hextall has known what he's been doing over the last 11 years in North Dakota. He seems to have been able to produce a lot of really great NHL hockey players from his program. Seems to be pretty disciplined, and I think with Ron Hextall choosing him early on, he knew that he could be a good fit for the Philadelphia Flyers. I do believe that they do have a lot of scoring talent. They need to shore up their defense a little bit and play a little bit more consistent. I think that they've played well against good teams and then not so well against the teams that are under them. So I think that what Ron Hextall is looking from Hextall is a little more consistency from game to game.
Speaking of Hexy, your former teammate, what do you think of him as general manager? You know, what should we expect? How has he done so far?
Well, I think we have to look back a little bit to when he was working with the Flyers for a little bit, and when they hired Paul Holmgren, he ended up going to Los Angeles because he knew that he wouldn't really have an opportunity to be the GM. He put a lot of work in with L.A. and their minor leagues and their minor system, and won a couple of cups with them there, and kind of bit his time and got some more experience. And now that he's been here and been given the opportunity to be the GM, I really believe that he's being given the reins to kind of do what he would like to do. I really am impressed that he's not bringing up the young guys too soon, especially the defensemen, because that's a difficult position to be playing. he's letting them play in the minors and getting the ice time and getting that maturity that they need. But if I look at what he's done in the front office with unloading Pronger's salary and trading a couple of guys last year and getting some really good young players back for them and still keeping the nucleus of his team and signing Voracek for long term to lock up Voracek as their best player has really shown everyone around here that he's in it for the long haul and seems to know what he's doing.
And speaking of young guys, in the June draft, the Flyers drafted a couple of guys in the first round that almost everybody who knows hockey says, are really good picks. Defenseman Ivan Provorov, he's a 6'1", 200-pounder. He was taken 7th overall. And then they got a speedy winger later on in the first round, 24th, I believe, Travis Konechny. He's not a big guy, 5'10", 175 pounds, but as I said, he does have speed, and apparently he can score, too. So what do you think? A couple of good picks right there?
Yeah, I think anytime you get to pick closer inside the top 10, you have a mature player that might have a chance to either make the team right away or join it in a couple of years. And if we look at a former Brandon Wheat King getting picked, I mean, he was dominating in that league. And from what I've heard, anybody that played for the Brandon Wheat Kings usually does pretty well for the Flyers.
I hear you.
Hey Brian, over the years, I guess back since you played probably with Ron Hextall, the goaltending's always been up and down and seems more down than up. But what's your take on Steve Mason?
Well, I've liked him ever since he first came to the team. I like the way he handles the press. I like the way that he deals with the people, very humble. I also think that he's a tall goaltender that can back up how he plays by winning a lot of games for the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, I know that since he's been here, he's kept the team in it until the third period a lot of times where they've been able to come back on teams and either win games or tie games and get points. So I really like the way that he's been performing. I think that he's a very solid number one. I think that they've picked up a very solid backup to him this year. I know last year it seems like Mason had a couple of kind of freaky type injuries where just out of the blue some things happened. So it's good to have a good backup. But overall, I think that looking at the way that he plays and how he covers that net, he's for the keeps, and I think that he can take them a long way.
Well, that's how I was going to follow up with you. Do you think this is the kind of goaltender that can win a Stanley Cup or get to a Stanley Cup?
There's a lot of pressure on the goaltenders, and you have to have a goaltender that is really going to play extremely well throughout the playoffs. It's getting to the playoffs, first of all. And I think if you've looked at a lot of the teams that have done very well over the last few years, they've got two or three defensemen that are like a Mark Howe type player that can play 35, 40 minutes, can make good plays, can really change the tune of the game, can keep the puck out of the net, and can help on the offense. So I think that's where the Flyers are looking to add a couple of good defensemen so that they can get to the point where they've got two or three top guys, because that really is the key. I mean, the Flyers have enough scoring, I think, up front, and they've got a lot of talented forwards. They need to play a little better defensively and have that stalwart back on D that can really kind of make things happen for them.
Hey, Brian, you mentioned something in your opening comment about the Flyers of the past year, the fact that they seem to play well against the good teams and then not so well against the teams that were lower in the standings. Why is that? Is that just a matter of focus, or what's going on there?
Yeah, a lot of times it can be focused where you're not consistently ready for every game. You might be a little bit too loosey-goosey. And, I know that, in the middle 80s when we had Mike Keenan, didn't matter what the team was, he had us prepared for every single game. And if you thought that you were going to have an easy game, he kind of reminded you that no game is easy and you had to be prepared for every single game. I think that if you look at the Flyers the last couple of years, they seem to start pretty slowly in a lot of games, and they really catch on in the third periods when they're down. But you want to play with the lead. It's too hard to come from behind all the time, although they can do it. They've got one of the best power plays in the NHL, and when they continue to score on that, it really will give them a lot of wins, but you have to play 5-on-5. When it gets to the playoffs, you saw the last couple of rounds where there aren't as many penalties, so you can't rely on just scoring a power play goal to win games. But I think they need to be better prepared at the beginning of every game.
Hey, another guy I want to ask you about is Vinny LeCavalier. We know what happened with him. They signed him to that big contract a couple of years ago. He scored 20 goals two seasons back. Then last year they were trying to get rid of him, unload him, but nobody seemed to want him. And now he's still a Flyer. How is this going to play out? And would this be a detriment to the team if LeCavalier is still on the team?
Well, he's got experience, and you know he's been around a long time and understands what his role can be. I think that people sometimes forget that top players, when they go to a different team and they're not getting the power play minutes and they're not getting the ice time minutes, that it's very hard when you're a third or fourth line player to perform the way that people expected you to when you were getting all the power play time. So, you know, as long as he understands his role and is able to, you know, play a significant role, and defensively you have to be better when you're not scoring. You can't be scored against. And that's where, you know, some of the top players like that just have to sort of change their role to be on a good team. And when they get their opportunity to get more ice time, that's when they're going to shine a little bit more. But I don't think a lot of people understand how hard it is to score goals or to put up numbers if you're not getting the ice time or you're not getting on the power play.
Brian, do you feel like a coaching change can really re-energize a guy like him, or is it just the fact that his, you know, he's a little older, his skills have diminished a little bit, and he kind of is what he is, or do you think he can get juiced back up under in a different environment?
Yeah, a lot of times that depends on the coach, because certain coaches have their favorite players, and those players, you know, get used to knowing, even if they're not performing at their top level, that they're still going to get the ice time. I think any time a new coach comes in, everybody's a little bit nervous because, you know, they're not going to play favorites and they're not sure, you know, what's going on. So everybody gets that chance to step up and to play for extra minutes and to show that they belong on maybe a line ahead of the person in front of them. So it could create some pretty good competition in training camp and preseason, and we'll see as the season goes along. But sometimes it's nice to have enough good players where they're putting pressure on each other that they know that if they're going to start to drop in their performance, that there's someone sitting there waiting for that opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it plays out.
Absolutely.
Hey, Proper, let's go back in time a little bit. Now, you had a great 15-year NHL career, your first 10 and a half years with the Flyers. And right out of the chute, 1979-80, you got to play with guys like Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, Rick McLeish, soon afterwards, I guess, Tim Kerr, Mark Howe. What was that like? You know, you knew these guys already, and then, you know, there you are on the ice with them. Tell me about your first couple of years in the league and playing with these guys.
Well, I think that getting drafted a little later in the first round when we had the leagues merging and gave me an opportunity to go to a team that was well-established, that had one of the best leaders in hockey ever, Bobby Clark, who practiced as hard as he played. And I was kind of in the same mold of practicing as hard as I played, and it kind of fit right in. And, you know, the guys that were there, like Bob the Hound Kelly and, you know, Frank Bay that were on the team, and, you know, even Billy and Clarkey and Ricky McLeish, I mean, everybody treated me very well, and, you know, I was able to, you know, join the team pretty quickly and be able to help out. And, you know, I ended up playing with Clark and Leach at the start where, you know, that leadership really helped a little bit. You know, Clarkey would yell where to go, what to do, and you know, that made a nice difference for a youngster in the league. And, you know, a little later on that year, I ended up playing with the Kenny Lindsman and Paul Holmgren, and, you know, we fit very well with the way that we played together. So, you know, I was fortunate to be able to come to the team and get that ice time right off the bat, play with some great leaders, and, you know, starting out with a 35-game undefeated streak doesn't hurt things for anybody's confidence when you first come in the league.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, what a year that was.
Hey, Brian, I have to look back. You mentioned about the Brandon Wheat Kings, and I had looked this up a little bit earlier. And, you know, when you're 17 years old, you scored 135 points. When you're 18 years old, you scored 182. And You're 19 years old. You scored 94 goals and 100 assists for 194 points. At first, I have to ask you what in the world was going on down there, or just how good were you? But the number that really surprised me, as an 18-year-old, you racked up 200 penalty minutes in 70 games. What were you doing down there?
Well, you know, Hextall played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, and I think that he probably had more penalty minutes than me. But, you know, that was the Western Hockey League. At that time, it was a 19-year-old draft, and so you had players that were a little bit older. It's a little bit more of a tougher, rough-and-tumble type league compared to the Quebec League or the Ontario League. You know, they might disagree with us, but... At that point, you know, we were very fortunate to have a very, very powerful team for three full years. And Ray Allison was my line mate for the full 3 years. You know, Bill Derlego, that went on to have a nice NHL career, was my centerman for the first year. And then Laurie Boschman, who played for the Toronto Maple Leafs after that. You know, Brad McCrimmon was one of our captains, and he was there the 3 years I was there. So we had a nucleus of players, but we also had a very good coach, Dunk McCollum, who played 15 years in the NHL. But we just had a powerhouse, and you don't score all those points without having great players to play with. And when you got there, we didn't lose very much, and it's a great habit to get into, where you just don't accept losing, and you perform and you prepare for every single game, and that's I think that helped all of those players to have long NHL careers.
Yeah, and you're 10 and a half years with the Flyers, Brian. You're the second all-time goal scorer on the club, 369 goals behind only Bill Barber. The second all-time assist leader, 480, behind only Bobby Clark. You had four seasons of 40 or more goals, not bad. Boy, a lot of great memories from the 1980s, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what happened in the 89 playoffs. Flyers, Canadiens, Chris Chelios, the hit on you that left you with a serious concussion, probably a questionable hit at best. And then, of course, in Game 6, Ron Hextall, your buddy, getting some revenge, I guess, pummeling Chelios and earning a 12-game suspension in the process. What was your reaction, Brian, to what Hexy did there?
Well, I think any time that your teammate is sticking up for you, it just shows you how much he cares. And, you know, Hextall played extremely well. And I know that at that point, you know, when it first happened, it was the first game that we played in Montreal. We had just beat out Pittsburgh in a seven-game series. And at that point, I think it was the conference finals. And I was the leading playoff performer points-wise at that time. And we all know that Chelios did it on purpose. You know, he doesn't mince words and say that he didn't. You know, he even told Carey Fraser, the ref, that he did, you know, down the road. But... And I came back and I played in that series, and to see Hextall, who was frustrated because I think we were down a couple goals and it was like game six back at home, that nobody had done anything to that point. It just shows you how much he cared about his own teammates. And it's like any professional team that's going to win. You have to play for the person beside you. You have to really, really care for them and really thoughtfully protect them and go after them. So, you know, he's always been one of my favorite Hextall for showing that how much he cared. And I thought it was very, very unfair of the league to give him a 12-game suspension at the beginning of the following year, because that really hurt our team, because we did not get off to a very good start that following year. And I think that he was over-penalized while Chelios got Zippo.
Yeah. Now, Brian, I'm sorry to bring this up, but you played in the Stanley Cup Finals three times with the Flyers, then once each with the Bruins and North Stars, and you won how many cups?
Canada Cup, Spangler Cup. There's a couple other ones in there, but I get asked that quite often. But how many great players in the game have never even made it to a final? And so you have to kind of look at it that way. It wasn't like the teams that we were losing to, the New York Islanders, the Edmonton Oilers, and the Pittsburgh Penguins were kind of slouches. So you give it your best shot to get there. It's just like now, if you don't get in the playoffs, you don't even give yourself a chance to do anything. And it's pretty difficult, as we even saw, Tampa Bay getting all the way to the finals. I mean, they really played very well, but it's a tough, tough grind, and it's difficult to win. You win it all, but so I always just looked at you know, I think I'm the overall, in the history of the game, the top left winger in playoff points in the history of the game. I mean, so it shows that at least I was performing when it counted and, you know, got our team to the chance to win. And I think that that's what everybody tries to do. It's, you know, it's unfortunate, but I guess life goes on. Tomorrow's a new day, and you just have to give it your best.
And then you have guys like me reminding you of it 20, 25 years later, so I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
Go ahead.
It's something that I face quite often. And, you know, I always look back and say, well, if I scored that overtime winner in New York, game six in my rookie season, and we went back to game seven in Philadelphia, who knows? You know, we could have won there, and we didn't score that overtime goal, and, you know, maybe that could have changed things right off the bat.
Hey, Brian, just a couple quick names. Who would you consider the best player you ever played with, and who would you consider your best opponent that you ever played against?
Well, I would say that, you know, playing for a lot of years, the same year as that I was drafted, was Ray Bourque. I mean, very, very difficult to play against because he had that offensive talent, defensive, could skate, big, strong, and just did everything so well. I mean, that's a player like that is, as a scorer, is very difficult because, you're not going to get the second chances. He's always in good position. He's not going to let you get to the front of the net. You know, very difficult to play against, also very offensive minded. You know, Gretzky and Lemieux were there, you know, when I was there. So, you know, we played against Gretzky. He's just an amazing talent. Same thing with Mario Lemieux, whom, you know, we played against a lot more often. But, you know, those are like superstars. And, you know, thankfully for me in the Canada Cup in 87, I was able to play on the line with both of them. And, you know, that was kind of a treat. I mean, there's so many great players. And I think a player like a Bob Gainey was very difficult for me to play against because he was 6'3", could skate very well, could position up and down the ice. And you knew that when you came up against players like that, that you have to try your hardest, but you're not going to get as many opportunities as you do against other players. But, you know, it's just, you know, there's so many great players in the league now. You just have to be faster, smarter, and a little quicker than most of them, and just be in the right position a little bit more often.
Right. Okay, well, hey, Brian, we do a segment on our show that Chet does with each of our guests. We call it the 10 and 5, and basically he asks 10 relatively easy questions, and you get 5 minutes to answer them. You up for this?
Sure.
All right. Brian, 10 and 5, again, 10 questions over the next 5 minutes. So keep each answer to, you know, 20, 25 seconds tops. Real brief. So here we go. It's August, I know, but Brian, what is your early prediction for the Flyers' 2015-16 season?
They make the playoffs, and I think that they can get to the conference finals.
Good. Other than salaries, what is the biggest difference between the NHL of the 1980s and today's NHL?
Players are locked up for longer periods of time, and you know, goaltenders have bigger equipment, and defensemen are quicker and faster.
Hey, you were inducted in 1999 into the Flyers Hall of Fame, and then last year into both the Saskatchewan Hall of Fame and the Philly Sports Hall of Fame. What do those kind of honors mean to you?
It just shows you that I played with great players to get me the results of that, but also it just shows a lot of pride of living in Philadelphia, and also how your hometown of Saskatchewan honors you. It's a tremendous honor.
Who's the best player in the NHL today?
I'd have to say that the best player is probably, I mean, that's a tough one. But I like Alexander Ovechkin just from the way he plays overall with the physical and the scoring and just the excitement of the game.
All right. Number 5, who was the best fighter in the league in your era?
Ben Wilson by far.
Wow. One of your teammates.
Oh,
hey, would
yeah.
you be okay? Would you be okay with it if the NHL completely banned fighting from the game?
I don't like that. I still like where players can help protect their own players.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now put your thinking cap on for this one. You're putting together the Flyers' all-time team. Fred Sherrill's the coach. Bernie's in goal. Clarkie's the center. Who are the two wingers and the two defensemen?
Well, I could I put Eric Lindros on one wing?
Sure.
And I put Mark Recchi on the left wing, and then I'd use Mark Howe and Eric Desjardins.
All right. Yeah, a lot of great candidates on the forward line, that's for sure. Now, your goal celebration, the guffaw, is it true that you got the idea from comedian Howie Mandel?
Yes, it was in his show in Atlantic City back in the 80s with my friend Scott McKay watching it and how he did it in his show, and I kind of copied it from him, talked to him after, and he has no problem with me having that as a trademark.
That's awesome. Now, I'm going to assume that hockey is at the top of the list. What is your second favorite sport to watch?
I like golf, just because it's one-on-one and it's not a team sport, and one miss hit and you're kind of out of a tournament. So I'm amazed at their mental capabilities.
All right, going to hit you with two more here. Why do so many ex-Flyers stay in the Philly, South Jersey area after retiring?
There are so many work opportunities. It's a great area with having the Jersey Shore nearby, the Poconos nearby, and New York close by, Washington. But the fans embrace the players, and we can find work here. People give us a chance to work here.
All right. And finally, hockey players seem to love nicknames, from true nicknames like the Hammer, Moose, the Count, or Bundy, to variations on players' names like Clarky, Hexy, or Proper. What player nicknames stick out in your mind as among the best?
Well, if you look at the Rat, I mean, that was a pretty
yep.
pretty close to what he was like. And actually, my good friend Brad McCrimmon, we call him the Beast, you know. So, like, there was a couple things that you could put into that too.
And just one quick follow-up. Is it true that teammates called Bill Barber Arnie because he reminded them of Arnold the Pig of Greenacres fame?
Yes, but, you know, Billy's awesome. I just was at an appearance with him last week, and he's just a fabulous guy.
All right. Brian Fropp, thanks for playing 10 in 5. Great job.
Thank you.
Well, Brian, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. We don't want to hold you up any longer, and hopefully we can get you back again during hockey season and talk about the Flyers being at the top of the heap.
No, I'd love to do that. And if any of the listeners want more information about what I am doing, my BrianProff.com website has a lot of information on it as far as working for Wolf Commercial Real Estate and a couple of other things that are going on there. So it's very easy to check out, and they can communicate with me through that also.
Thanks,
right.
Brian. Appreciate that.
Actually, we have a couple minutes. If you want to give a little more details about that, feel free to.
Oh, sure. Well, I've been working with Wolf Commercial Real Estate in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So I know a lot of people, and we can help anybody that has any commercial real estate needs. And I'm actually working with car dealerships with a company called Smart Payment Plan, where we're a service provider, and we can offer the customers smaller payments on their car loans depending on how often they're paid. We basically pay the customers' bills for them, so we're a very convenient company to work with the car dealerships. We're a partner with them, and so far I'm working with Ardmore Toyota, Prestige Auto in Turnersville, and Barlow Buick GMC in Woodbury, but soon to be working with a number of other dealerships.
Brian, I know we were in the pits about 5 years ago. How's the home buying and selling market now in South Jersey?
In the commercial side, we've never been busier. You know, Jason Wolf has started his own company 3.5 years ago and has taken it to another level. But right now, the commercial side of the business has been very, very, very good the last year and a half.
Awesome.
Very good. Hey, Brian, I know you're going to be doing a signing over with our buddy Carl Henderson at Carl's Cards there in a couple weeks, and we're already hearing a lot of good things, people wanting to come out and see Brian Propp, Joel Watson, and Jimmy Watson. It should be a lot of fun.
Well, I'll be the quietest one there between the two Watson boys. No,
I hear you.
All
right.
That's in Havertown, and that's on the 29th. I'm
yep.
looking forward. It's always fun. We also, just so that you know, we have our Flyers Alumni Hockey Fantasy Camp on the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, 23rd in Atlantic City. So that is coming up next weekend, a week from this weekend, and all of our alumni guys are looking forward to schooling some of the people that are going to be attending that.
Sounds great.
Very good. You're a busy man, Brian Propp.
We're all busy in some way or form, but you know, it's doing something that you love. It makes life go very quickly and very much enjoyable.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Bill and Jim.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
Brian. Okay. Thanks, Brian. And as we said, we have a great prize for tonight's trivia question, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. A photo, autograph, and photo op with Brian Propp at Carl's store on August the 29th to the first caller that can call in and correctly answer the trivia question. If an out-of-towner wins or someone that can't make it to Carl's card, they will receive a signed photo of Brian. So our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question, write this down, Chet, 929-477-2888. We will give our trivia question, then we'll take a break, and we'll take the call from the winner, we hope. Okay? In Brian Propp's NHL career, he scored a total of 425 goals, 369 of them coming as a Flyer. How many times did he score 40 or more goals in a season? And Chet, you asked him. You brought that up. So it's already been discussed.
I mentioned it during the show, yep.
During the show.
So rewind about 10 minutes and you'll hear the answer.
Okay. One more time. Well, we'll do the short version. How many times did Brian Propp score more than 40 or more goals in a season?
40
okay,
or more, yep.
40 or more. All right, let's take a break and thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Chet, I have to tell you, my cashback account is now over $300, my friend.
Very nice.
The goal is to get enough cash back on purchases I was going to make anyway to buy myself a new TV. So we're working towards it.
Sounds like a plan. Love it.
All right. So, Chet, let's move on. Let's talk about the Eagles. And the injury bug seems to be hitting that defense a little bit already in camp. And by the way, what in the world you and Swit talking about last week with all the wonderful talk about this Eagles football team? I was still hanging on because I was in the airport. And I had you on mute, but I was listening, and I was having trouble with that whole thing. You guys, I thought we weren't going to have to play the season. We were just going to give the Lombardi to the birds.
You must have had a bad connection, Bill, because Swit and I were just keeping it real. And we did say that much of the birds' outlook will be directly connected to players' health. And here we are 10 days into camp, and already they've lost linebacker and special teams guy Travis Long and rookie DB Ja'Cory Shepherd with torn ACLs. And, of course, that was after they traded away Brandon Boykin. So the secondary still a real concern in my eyes.
Well, absolutely. I wasn't thinking that it was that strong to start with, so I'm certainly not thinking it's in good shape right now. I'm a little worried about that. But, you know, maybe it's not a big deal with the Kiko Alonso concussion, but, you know, obviously he's got to go through the protocol of the NFL and get himself back. But, boy, it just always worries me. Once you get that first one, the second one sort of seems to come a lot easier.
Yeah, and it happened when they weren't even doing the real heavy-duty contact drills, so that is a concern for sure. Now, the good news, Sam Bradford, by all accounts, has looked real good throwing the ball. Granted, there's no, you know, 300-pound guys chasing him in earnest as yet, but by all indications, he's looking very good, very sharp, and he's got a great arm from everybody that's been watching him. So, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy and we can see what the real Sam Bradford is all about. There's still worries, of course, on the offensive line with, you know, who's going to play guard. Right now they're moving around five different guys trying to fill those two slots that Hermans and Mathis are, you know, vacating with their departures. So that's going to be interesting. But the wide receivers, the young guys, all look pretty good so far. Josh Huff looking good, supposedly. A lot of people think he's going to have a breakout year. So a lot of reason to be optimistic. But, no, we're not guaranteeing playoffs or the Lombardi Trophy, Bill. But we're just saying there's hope.
Well, we will see. We will see. I read something late this afternoon about Mark Sanchez taking a ton of the first team snaps today, and you know, Chip does some funny things here with practice where he holds out Murray and he's switching things up. He's got a lot going on. He's looking at a lot of stuff, and it's going to be interesting to see how it sorts out.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, what you just mentioned, the fact that Sanchez was getting more snaps today, is because he will be playing on Sunday and Bradford won't. They may hold him out. Now, that's not official yet. That's just speculation at this point. But they may just hold Bradford out one more week and then put him in there for preseason games 2 and 3. But, again, that's not written in stone as yet, so we'll see how that all plays out.
Well, probably is the case, I would think, but... Hey, listen, Chet, we got a second here, and we have a caller. So let's see if we're going to give away this Brian prop package for trivia. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
I gave you three guesses, but you're probably only going to need one.
Is this the guy? The guy must not have a job?
No, I have a job. I definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. You're calling Danny to answer the trivia question. Is that correct?
I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah.
Okay. How many times did Brian Propp score more than 40 or more goals in a season?
That would be 4 times. And I love Brian Propp, by the way. He's a great player. I love him. I wish he could have won a cup, really.
Well,
the answer is indeed four.
You just won. Unless you're flying to Philly, you're going to win a Brian Propp picture. Unless you want to go up there and get the photo op with him.
Well, can I hold off on that? And when is he doing the showing at Carl's?
August 29th.
August 29th.
Ooh, okay. I guess I'm not. Yeah.
Well, you'll get an autograph photo
or
picture anyway.
A little later in the year, maybe, but, yeah, that's a little too close, and I probably won't, you know, unfortunately, I would have loved to do that, but, no, I'm not going to be able to make that one.
All right.
Then
you get a nice 8x10 picture anyway.
While we have you, Danny,
yes,
what's your quick thought on the first couple weeks of Eagles camp?
I hear, you know, mixed things, some positive, some negative. The most interesting development, you know, is the Jacory Shepherd deal, and I don't see it as quite a big a deal as some do. You know, some of the writers, I've been reading a lot about it. And, I mean, it was not really his job to begin with. I mean, they said he might have been a front runner, he looked okay and everything, but he didn't have it locked up yet. And I kind of like Jalen Watkins a little bit, but I thought it was interesting that I heard the Chip Kelly press conference and he mentioned Derrick Rowe, and I thought it was interesting that that he may try him out there, and I actually think he would do pretty well there if he can learn the position. And I know he's a rookie, but you know, sometimes natural instincts can take over too, and I'd like to actually see him have a good shot at it because I really like him as a player.
Well, I think there's a good possibility, you know, next man up. I think everything we're finding out about Chip Kelly, that's the philosophy. Whoever can do the job is going to get an opportunity to play. And if it's out of position and you can still do the job, then that's your new position. I think that's you got to utilize the talent and put your best guys on the field.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's a good way to approach things. I really like that approach. You know, rather than just saying, well, he's just a corner and that's all he's going to do. Well, if you're deep at one position and you have a lot of talent at that position, what's the use in having a guy sit on the bench wasting away for a year or whatever when he could be on the field?
Absolutely. And as long as he uses that same philosophy with Michael Kendricks and moves him outside and gets Brandon Graham off the field, then I'll be really happy.
You don't like Brandon. I think Brandon Graham will be okay. I think the linebacker position overall is actually looking really good, and I think it's going to be a strength for us this year. And I think our front seven is with another year under its belt is going to be even better than it was last year. And I'm not saying the secondary. I think the secondary is still somewhat of a question mark. On paper, I think they look better, but that's paper. We have to see what they do in the field. I always agreed with that. And if they play to their expectations, and with bringing in big free agent and Malcolm Jenkins another year under his belt in this system and everything, I think they'll be okay. And I think the front seven will help to overcome some of their issues. I think the biggest issue with this team overall is going to be there is a fair amount of new faces, which there is a lot of times on a lot of teams, but I think they got to gel. Are they going to be able to gel early enough, to put up that coveted 10 wins, at least 10 wins that I'm looking for this year? And I think it'll be more. I think they'll get 11, but that's going to depend on whether or not they gel. And I tell you one thing I do really like, Sam Bradford. I've been hearing nothing but positive about Sam Bradford. And I know the knees can still be an issue. We'll see about that, but he seems to be coming along real well. And I've been saying it all along, ever since they got him, he is. I like Nick Foles. I was a Nick Foles guy. But Sam Bradford, talent-wise, he is far and above Nick Foles, and I think we'll see that this year.
I hope you're right, man.
All right, Danny. Well, we appreciate it, and we will get this Brian Propp picture out to you right after the signing on the 29th, my friend.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And thank you, Carl Henderson, once again.
Well, all right. Appreciate
Take care,
it.
Danny.
All right.
Hey, Chet. All right. Hey, Chet, I understand you have a little bit of a beef with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You have some Eagles that you feel should be getting some consideration. Let's get it
out there
and get it off your chest.
Yeah, first, congrats to Jerome Bettis, Mick Tinglehoff, and the late Junior Seau, and everyone else who was inducted into the Hall of Fame this past weekend in Canton. And then yesterday there was a good piece on Comcast Sportsnet's Quick Slants about the fact that a lot of guys who played the bulk of their pro career with the Eagles are not in the Hall. And the question is, should they be in? And I'm talking some guys who I think are pretty deserving. You have Harold Carmichael, the great wide receiver from the 1970s. He was part of the NFL's all-70s team, as a matter of fact. He had the consecutive games catching streak. How about linebacker Maxie Bond, who the Eagles are going to honor this fall? He made the Pro Bowl 9 of his 12 seasons in the league. He played 6 years with the Eagles. Safety Eric Allen, what a great 14-year career he had. 6 Pro Bowls, 54 interceptions. He's the Eagles' all-time leader in INTs, tied with Dawkins, actually, with 34, 5 of them for touchdowns. And a definite oversight, linebacker Seth Joyner. Man, his first 8 seasons in the league with the Eagles, he was just phenomenal. He finished his career with 52 sacks and 24 interceptions. Amazing, and he doesn't even get consideration for the Hall of Fame. So these guys should be in the Hall. Get with it, Canton.
Well, I'm going to add one, and I'm going to comment on one.
Okay.
Bill Berge should be on that list as well.
I thought you might go there. Yep.
Well, Bill Berge was a fantastic player on a bunch of terrible teams, for the most part. And while the guys like Jack Lambert was playing on the Steel Curtain and Randy Gradishar at the time was in Denver and playing on the Orange Crush defense, those guys were getting all press, and Berge was just fantastic week in and week out. So I'm putting him on that list as well, and I think well-deserving. Your other comment about Maxie Bond, to me, there are two huge oversights in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Maxie Bond is one of them, and Jerry Kramer is the other one, the guard from the Green Bay Packers. Kramer is the only guy on the 75th NFL 75 anniversary team that is not in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, that's crazy.
I think, yeah, I mean, Jerry Kramer and Maxie Bohn absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. The others,
yep.
You know, I like Eric Allen a lot. Safety's tough to get in. You know, John Lynch can't get in. You know, Harold Carmichael. Here, Tim Brown. Tim Brown is just an absolute machine and a statistical machine, and it takes him 5 years to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Carmichael's certainly worthy to be in that list. Is he good enough to get there? You know, that's the big question. So, I like your list. I like your list. I'm not in love with Seth Joyner, but that's okay. I think we had that conversation with Mark Eckel a while back about Seth Joyner and Derek Brooks, and he felt
yep.
like that Joyner was every bit as good as Brooks, and I had to disagree with that. And but hey, that's what this stuff's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Okay, well, hey, let's take a look real quick and talk about the Fighting Phils. They're playing pretty good ball since the All-Star break and replacing Ryan Sandberg. And excluding those two beatings they got the last couple of days, giving up 13 runs both games to the Diamondbacks. But you see a bunch of youngsters that are playing pretty good ball. You think they have the staying power to at least win some games the rest of the way and stay under those 100 losses?
Well, you know, as we were talking, I got my calculator out a few minutes ago, Bill, and with their win today, they're 46-69. That puts them on pace now for a 65-97 season. That's a whole lot better than 3 weeks ago when they were on pace for 111 losses. Now, if they can play right around 500 the rest of the way, let's say 24-23, they would finish 70-92. Which is pretty close to their 73 win seasons the last 2 years. Now, will they do that? Who knows? They're still the worst team in baseball on the road, and some of the guys they've sent to the mound recently, like awful Aaron Harang and dreadful David Buchanan, who's just been demoted after Tuesday night's shellacking. Well, I think we've seen enough of those guys to know we don't want to see them on a major league mound again. It's going to be fun to watch this team over the next 6 weeks or so, see some of these young guys play some more. And then in September, I want to see some of these guys from Reading and Lehigh Valley called up. Some of the guys down there are really tearing it up. Reading has won 8 games in a row. I saw them last week in Trenton. Nick Williams, one of the newcomers acquired from the Rangers in the Hamels deal, 14 hits in his first 7 games with Reading. That includes 3 homers. Another outfielder, Aaron Althea, is up with Lehigh Valley now. He was promoted from Reading. He's still doing fine. Shortstop of the future, J.P. Crawford. And this catcher at Reading, Andrew Knapp, he has played 35 games with the R-Phils. He has 41 RBI in 35 games. He's hitting .406. He had, I think, 3 hits last week in the game I saw him. This guy can hit, and he's a catcher. I saw Williams, Crawford, Knapp, and the new pitcher, Jake Thompson, who they acquired also in the Hamels deal when Reading played in Trenton. Thompson won that game. He also won on Sunday, so he's 2-0 with the Reading Phillies. He looks good. And by the way, they also have a new relief pitcher there acquired from Toronto in the Ben Revere deal, Jimmy Cordero, who frequently throws, I'm not kidding you, between 100 and 103 miles per hour. So there's a lot of reason for optimism for, you know, what's ahead for the Phillies in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll toss out one other name because I've been following him closely. Alec Asher was part of the Cole Hamels deal from the Texas Rangers, and he's pitching at Lehigh Valley. He's from Lakeland down here and actually played with my son. Played high school with my son. He's younger, but they were in the same program. So I've been keeping an eye on him. I believe he gave up 4 runs in his first outing and gave up none in his second outing as a starter at Lehigh Valley. So kind of looking forward to him. Maybe he gets a September call-up. He was right on the cusp with the Rangers. So, you know, he's another one that might get called up. We're going to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, reason for optimism, at least. And, you know, hey, you can't argue with that. There's hope for the future.
All right. And, hey, one more comment about this for the Phillies. And we'll talk about this next week because I'll lead into where our guest next week on our show is going to be. Former Philly fan favorite Glenn Wilson will be our guest. And we'll talk a lot of Phillies. But one of the main things I want to talk about, Chet, is the future of Ruben Amaro. And I know what everybody thinks, but sit down and look at all this. They've acquired in the Rollins, Bird, Revere, Hamels, all those trades, they've stockpiled about 10 pitchers that are double A or triple A or ready, and along with a couple players, Ruben Amaro might sneak through this and might come out of it looking pretty darn good.
Yeah,
we'll
I agree.
He's
got a lot of props.
Detail.
Yep, a lot of props for some of these moves, and he just could keep his job as a result, so that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and actually, in a second, we're going to have Carl Henderson join us, and we'll get his take on that as well. But one other message I wanted to point out, along with the Glenn Wilson going to be with us in 2 weeks on August the 26th, we're also going to be putting out a Philly Press Box Radio first ever Pick'em Challenge. We'll have that out very shortly. I think our listeners will enjoy that. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to be able to go into a website and you will pick the NFL winners, no points, each week, and we'll have a cumulative champion at the end. We got some good prizes we're putting together. I think that's going to be fun for us all to do.
Let's get Carl on, shall we?
All right. Well, hey, as I said, we got a new segment we're going to call Carl's Corner. As you know, we update the signings of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, so we've decided to let Carl Henderson provide the ever-changing updates himself. Carl, take it away.
Guys, how we doing?
Awesome.
Doing great.
Great show. It was great listening to Proper. It's a shame he's not in the game somewhere. I'm not sure that would be a coach, but somewhere in the game, because he's got a lot to offer. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, too. And you're going to have a long line on August 29th, too. I'll tell you, with those three guys, that's going to be great.
Yeah, and he was right about the Watsons, because Jimmy likes to talk. But Monday night, we got Matt Stairs, currently one of the TV guys, doing a great job with the Phillies. He'll be in the store Monday night, August 17th, 6:30 to 7:30. So he always he's always good for a laugh. He's been here a couple of times. So we've got like you said, the Watson brothers and Brian Propp coming in August 29th. That one's already starting to fill up. So we're expecting a good crowd on that one, Chet. And then what else do we have? September 12th. This one's kind of outside the box a little bit with Bruins Hall of Fame goalie Jerry Cheevers. So him and Clarkie used to battle pretty good. So that one that should bring some questions and some eye raising from Jerry. So we'll be curious to see how that one flies. And then the following week we've got Orris Kinderchuk, Don Selesky, and Dave the Hammer Schultz. So that takes us right up to date with our signings here at the store.
Yeah, that one's
and
on
Bill
September
Furman
19th.
And Jim Chachesko on the September 19th as well.
Well, you know, is that confirmed? Because I didn't see that come across my desk.
We're still negotiating.
we're negotiating our contracts, but yes, that's what's happening.
That's some big ticket stuff there. I may have to rent a hall for that one. So.
Oh yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey Carl, real quick, a great signing list, and I know you're celebrating that 20th anniversary. You've done fantastic all year long. I'm sure you're going to continue it. But two questions for you. Two different sports. One is thinking about Brian Propp and all his accomplishments, and as Chet said, he's either second to Clark or second to Barber in almost every offensive category with the Flyers. Is this guy NHL Hall of Fame ready? I mean, should he be in there?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. Excellent question. You've got a lot of competition, with guys that are sitting there with 500 goals that aren't in, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. He may have to wait a few years on that one.
All maybe right. One of those guys just a little bit on the outside step.
Yeah, I mean, if I was on the committee, he'd get my vote for sure.
Right, right.
But, I mean, you got guys like Jeremy Roenick, Mark Recchi. I mean, there's guys that are, I thought for sure would be, first ballot guys.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Okay. My other question is, as I think you were listening in as we were finishing up our little Phillies conversation, Ruben Amaro safe?
I don't think so. I just think that's something that the new guy is going to clean house, and I think he's going to bring in all his own people. I mean, Ruben's done some great trades. You know, I mean, these are all prospects, so we got to see which ones, you know, actually make it to down Broad Street to perform. I just think Mr. McVail's gonna come in and clean house and bring his own people in.
I got
all right, something to watch.
Do you have anything
for Carl
sure tonight?
Me?
Yeah, anything for Carl tonight?
No, nothing else. I'm hoping to get there on the 29th, trying to adjust my schedule so I can get there to see the Watson guys and Brian Propp, because that's a great signing in the store.
I have one last comment, if I could.
Yeah, sure.
This Danny Bevins guy, is he a ringer?
I told him I was going to start screening his calls.
We're going to have a question for all the other listeners and then a question for Danny.
I like that idea.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, Carl, hey, before you go, you gave us all the information. How can people get a hold of you and get to know what's going on right there at the store?
Probably the easiest, fastest way is just hit us up on the web at carlscards.com. But the store is open 7 days a week, 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown. But like I said, everything's available on the website. The phone number is 610-789-4996. So I really appreciate you guys having me on and, you know, promoting all of our signings.
All right.
Our pleasure.
Well, we appreciate it, and I will see you shortly, hopefully. I'm going to get up that way.
Safe travels. I'll see you guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, Carl.
Okay, right, Carl, bye-bye. Thanks. All right, Chet, we just have a couple minutes left. Do you have a parting shot this week?
I do, and I've got about 45 seconds to give it to you, so here we go. I don't remember seeing Frank Gifford playing his last game. It happened when I was about 7, but he was apparently pretty good, a league MVP, 8 trips to the Pro Bowl, and a Hall of Famer. What I do remember is seeing and hearing Frank every Monday evening in the fall in the 1970s and 80s when he opened the Monday Night Football broadcasts, which more then than ever was must-see TV for sports fans. Well, Frank died last weekend, and now all three main guys from the 70s Monday Night Football crew, Gifford, Cosell, and Dandy Don, are gone. A lot of Eagles fans know that Frank Gifford lost the full season of his career as a result of a vicious hit by another legend that we lost earlier this year, Chuck Bednarik. Giff and Concrete Charlie are now reunited, I guess. Rest in peace, Frank Gifford.
Absolutely. Hey, my parting shot, and I'm going to be very brief as well, is, you know, Chet, I'm not a huge fan of the NFL as an organization, and every year at preseason time, it irritates me even more. Not as much when I had season tickets and I had to buy those two garbage games, but watching that Hall of Fame game the other night, or trying to watch, it was just about unwatchable football. And I don't know. I get the whole preseason thing because they have to do it to get ready, but they're stealing from the fans. They're stealing from the fans. They're putting a lousy product out there, and I am not a fan of preseason football.
I'm with you, but people love football. The ratings for that game were great, so people just love football.
That's what I read. All right. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so let's hustle through to the end and thank Flyers great Brian Propp, Carl Henderson of Carl's Cards and Collectibles for his continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Bill Furman and Jim Chetchesko, hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, August 26th, with our special guest, former Philly Glenn Wilson. You can listen through our Facebook page and like our Philly Press Box Radio page on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, or now on both iTunes and Stitcher. You can also like our Blog Talk Radio page and get all the updates there as well. High hopes, sports fans.